January 28, 1926. After sin, Adam did the same acts as before, but because he had withdrawn from the supreme will, they were empty of the substance of divine life. The humanity of Jesus, the tree of life which will produce the fruit of the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven. I was thinking about the holy divine volition, and I thought to myself, how can it be that Adam, after sin, having broken his will from that of God, lost strength, dominion, and his acts were not so pleasing to God as to form his delight? Indeed, before sinning, Adam had done his acts toward God, he had learned them. Why then, in repeating them afterwards, they no longer sounded the same sound, they no longer contained the fullness of divine love and the complete glory of God? Now, while I was thinking of this, my lovable Jesus moved in my interior, and through a light that he sent to me, told me, my daughter, first of all, before he withdrew from my will, Adam was my son. He contained my will as center of his life and of all his acts, therefore he possessed a strength, a dominion, an attractiveness which was all divine. His breath, his heartbeat, his acts, gave of divine. All of his being gave off a celestial fragrance, which drew us all toward him. So, we felt wounded from all sides by the Son. If he breathed, if he spoke, if he did even the most innocent, indifferent and natural things, those were wounds of love for us. And we, amusing ourselves with him, filled him more and more with our goods, because everything he did came from one single point, which was our will. Therefore we liked him all, we found nothing which might displease us. Now, after sin, Adam descended from the state of son and reduced himself to the state of servant. And as soon as he broke up with the supreme will, the divine strength, the dominion, the attractiveness, the celestial fragrance, went out of him. Therefore, his acts, his being, no longer gave of divine, but were filled with a human sensation, which, making him lose attractiveness, caused that we no longer felt wounded, but rather, we kept our distance, he from us, and we from him. His repeating the same acts as those he did before sinning, as in fact he did, says nothing. But do you know what the acts of the creature are without the fullness of our will? They are like those foods without condiments and without substance, which, instead of being enjoyed, disgust the human palate. And so do they disgust the divine palate. They are like those unripe fruits, which contain neither sweetness nor taste. They are like those flowers without fragrance. They are like those vases, which are full, yes, but of old, fragile and ragged things. All this can serve as strict necessity of man, and may be a shadow, a shade of the glory of God, but not the happiness and the complete well-being of the creature, and the fullness of the glory of God. Now, on the other hand, with what pleasure does one not eat a food which is well flavored and nourishing? How it strengthens the whole person! The mere smell of its condiment whets one's appetite and the eagerness to eat it. In the same way, before sinning, Adam flavored all of his acts with the substance of our will, and therefore he whetted the appetite of our love to take all his acts as the most enjoyable food for us. And we, in return, gave him our delicious food, our will. But after sin, poor one, he lost the direct way of communication with his Creator. Pure love was no longer reigning in him. Love was divided by apprehension, by fear, and since he no longer contained the absolute dominion of the supreme will, his acts of before, done after sin, no longer had the same value. More so, since the whole creation, including man, came out of the eternal Creator as their source of life, in which they were to be preserved only with the life of the divine will. Everything was to be founded upon it, and this foundation of the divine will was to preserve all things as beautiful and noble, just as they had come out of God. And, in fact, all created things are just as they were created, none of them has lost anything of its origin. Only man lost the life, the foundation, and therefore he lost his nobility, the strength, and the likeness to his Creator. But in spite of this, my will did not leave man completely. Unable to still be his source of life and the foundation that would sustain him, because he himself had withdrawn from it, it offered itself as medicine so that he might not perish completely. So, my will is medicine, is sanity, is preservation, is food, is life, is fullness of the highest sanctity. In whatever way the creature wants it, so does it offer itself. If she wants it as medicine, it offers itself in order to take away from her the fever of passions, the weaknesses of impatience, the vertigo of pride, the sickliness of attachments, and so with all the rest of evils. If she wants it as sanity, it offers itself to preserve her healthy, to free her from any spiritual illness. If she wants it as food, it gives itself as food to make her strengths develop and grow more in sanctity. If she wants it as life and as fullness of sanctity, oh! Then my will makes feast, because it sees man returning into the womb of his origin, from which he came. And it offers itself to give him the likeness of his Creator, the only purpose of his creation. My will never leaves man. If it left him, he would resolve into nothing. And if man does not give himself to letting my will make him a saint, my will uses the ways to at least save him. On hearing this, I said to myself, Jesus, my love, if you love so much that your will operate in the creature as in the act in which you created her, as if there had been no fracture between your will and that of the creature, why, in coming upon earth to redeem us, did you not give us this great good, that your will, triumphant of everything, would place us in the order of creation, just as we came out of the hands of our celestial Father? And Jesus, coming out from my interior, pressed me all to his heart, and with unspeakable tenderness, told me, my daughter, the primary purpose of my coming upon earth was indeed this one, that man would return into the womb of my will, as he came out of it when he was created. But in order to do this, I had to form, by means of my humanity, the root, the trunk, the branches, the leaves, the flowers, from which the celestial fruits of my will were to come out. No one can have the fruit without the tree. This tree was watered by my blood. It was cultivated by my pains, by my sighs and tears. The sun which shone upon it was the sun of my will alone. Therefore, the fruits of my will certainly come, but in order to desire the fruits, one must know how precious they are, the good which they bring, the riches they produce. Here is the reason, then, for the many manifestations of my will which I have made to you. In fact, knowledge will bring the desire to eat it. And once they have enjoyed what it means to live only to do my will, if not all, at least part of them will return to the path of my volition. The two wills will exchange the perennial kiss. There will be no more dispute between the human will and that of the Creator. And after the many fruits it has given, my redemption will give also the fruit of the fiat voluntatis on earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, you, be the first one to take this fruit, and want no other food, nor any other life but my will alone.